Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our text is the Holy Gospel, and I would invite your attention especially to these thoughts. From verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. In verse 8, and some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then as part of Jesus' explanation of the parable from verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's our text. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Christian friends, last week here in adult Bible study, we were speaking about this parable from the Gospel of Matthew. I pointed out to those who were in Bible class something about myself. I grew up in the city. What I know about farming, you can write on the back of a business card and still have room to make notes about other things as well. But even a city boy like me knows it would make absolutely no sense to take one of these $100,000 planters that you folks drive around the fields and put it down out here on the surface of Highway 77 and lower the levers and start putting that expensive seed corn out onto the concrete surface of Highway 77. What kind of foolish farmer would destroy an expensive piece of equipment and waste all that precious seed corn by trying to plant on Highway 77? The Lord. I grew up in the city. I don't know that much about farming. But even a city boy knows that you don't take that expensive seed corn and go to all the work and put it out in the fields and plant it and spend all the money on anhydrous and then put no herbicide on it. What kind of a farmer would do that? The Lord. I'm a city boy. I don't realize and understand all this stuff, but even a city boy like myself realized when I served for a period of time down in western Missouri, where the soil is about that deep on top of all the rocks underneath Missouri, you don't take an expensive planter and try to run that seed corn in there and expect a crop of any kind. What kind of a farmer would go to that expense and waste? The Lord. Because the Lord knows how this operates. The Lord operates according to an entirely different logic than we do. And the point of this parable this morning is not just what have you always thought about this parable before. The parable is pushing upon me and upon each of you this morning as well. What kind of soil are you today? Yesterday doesn't count. That's over. Tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. And this parable is not being addressed this morning to your neighbor who's sitting at home worshiping the god of the pillow as her or his head is right there. You and I are talking about this parable this morning. In point of fact, it's the Lord who's talking to your heart and to my heart and saying, okay, what kind of soil are you? Because we have these different conditions that arise. And above all, the seed that falls into the hearts that are ready to hear it brings forth a hundredfold, St. Luke says. Is that happening in your life? When I look in the mirror, is that happening in my life? It doesn't matter how it was working yesterday. The question is, what's happening today? It's you and I that are being addressed this morning, and the folks hearing us and joining us over the airwaves this morning. It's today.
It does not matter that you cannot, you and I can assure ourselves, well, I received this gospel already at baptism and I faithfully attended a parochial school and Sunday school. That's good. Many of us can say, at a point in time, I stood before the Lord and my family and the congregation and affirmed it in confirmation class. That's good. We can think of those times when we devotedly affirmed something and we saw the power of the gospel operative giving us strength to cope with difficulty and everything else. That's good. That was then. This is now. And the parable's being spoken in our ear again this morning, because the biggest rub is not yesterday or them or when, anything else. The question to me and to you this morning for self-examination is, what kind of soil are you today? Because the issue is not the seed. Any of us who have done any kind of planting see this miracle take place, and the biology professors I work with can give you some sense of how that all takes place, and I'm sure that the scientists who study it have this remarkable description, but there is still this majestic miracle that you take these things and you stick them in the ground, and the rain comes down and the sun shines, and boom! We can describe that biologically or chemically or all those other kinds of ways, but there is still the remarkable mystery of watching that seed poke out of the soil as an emerging plant. It's what we yearn for. It's the little mystery and magic that children experience in preschool when they, the little experiment with the little pot and the bean that grows up. The problem is not the seed. The Lord Jesus says that here in our text. The seed is the Word of God. That's not just bare, naked, biblical text. When the Savior talks Word of God, he's talking about this majestic power that the Lord unleashes in his converse with us, that he describes in all of these deeds of history. And we get a hint of what that seed is about from the nature of this farmer, because he takes this expensive, irreplaceable seed corn and he scatters it. Don't forget, this is in an era that if and when it doesn't sprout, you can't run up to the elevator and buy more. That didn't exist in these days. This had been saved from the previous year's crop. If it fails, they go hungry, permanently. And yet the farmer takes the risk. Do you think this farmer knows where those hard-beaten paths are? Yes. Where the thorns are and the weeds come up all the time? Yes. Where the soil is thin because the rocks always protrude? Yes. And yet this farmer in liberality sows. Does that tell you something about the heart of this sower of seed, this farmer? That he is generous and that he trusts the power of the seed in spite of the logic. That's why when the Lord Jesus says the seed is the Word of God, he's talking about this overwhelming message of love from our God. All through the history of the world, you heard it referred to in the book of Isaiah in the 55th chapter. In the same way, the Lord says that the rains come down from heaven and water the earth and cause it to spring up, so my word will not return to me void. And that's not mere information. It is a message of love. It is a God who tenderly cares about his people. It is the same kind of word of God that that went into the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had turned against the Lord. And the Lord knew it. And in pride and fear, they thought they could hide from him and present themselves before God in some sort of way. And the Lord called to them from the garden paths, "Where are you?" It's the voice of a father who yearns for his frightened, stubborn, recalcitrant, proud, difficult children, who keeps beckoning on an ongoing basis. And it is a word that addresses constantly. Where are you today? What kind of soil are you today? Word doesn't change. St. Peter talks about this when he wrote to the church in his first letter, in the first chapter. It is this wonderful, remarkable celebration in which he's, we think, might have been taking a sermon in which he addressed persons who had just been baptized. And he turned it into a letter. It bears all the characteristics of that. And St. Peter, in exuberance, announces, "You have been born again!" Not because of some decision or anything else. You read through that whole chapter, see, and again, toward the end of the chapter, Peter repeats it. You have been born again, not through anything except the living and abiding Word of God, and that's the good news that was preached into your hearts. In the same way that that rain and water that comes down in Isaiah 55 comes to our stony, frightened, angry, stubborn, disillusioned hearts and seeps into the cracks of it and then bursts it open and gives life. That's how the power of the gospel operates. And yet we think that somehow it depends entirely on our ability to name it and describe it and apprehend it and make sense out of it and everything else. And to that degree, we have shackled it. Because you don't analyze messages of love. You receive them. And all of a sudden, they have this impactful power of making us different people each day. How do you know what kind of soil you are? When that seed's operating, St. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that we see stuff in our lives. He calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Attitudes of love, peace, patience, joy, tenderness, self-control. And so when we don't see those, then we begin wondering, what seed is operative in my life? Because when the gospel's coming home, that's what we're seeing. If we're not seeing it, it does not work to try to act that way as if we can create it. Because then we're making artificial plants. And they look nice, but they're not alive. It's the seed of the gospel that transforms us so that when love and peace and patience and joy and so on, all those things that Paul talks about, when they're not there, we need the gospel. Because that's the only thing that produces that. A sower went out to sow a seed. What kind of soil are you today? The subtle temptation and the huge temptation when we hear this paragraph, this particular parable, is to believe that you and I can change the kind of soil that we are. That's not the issue. What's permanent in this thing is that the seed is the Word of God. The tender mercy that God wrought ever so clearly in the history of the world when He gave us His own Son. That's the kind of God He is. The kind of God who loved you so much that He could not stand the idea of being separated from you, and was willing to pour out the life of His own Son to make you His own. That's the kind of God He is. And it is this God that raises with you the question, what's happening here? So what is it that's going on when the enemy snatches this away? I suppose it's the kind of thing in which day by day, any one of us in doubt or skepticism or whatever, because of the concerns of our living, can somehow see, well, what good is this going to do me, because it doesn't change a thing of what I'm going through financially or medically or socially or in terms of the political noise going on in our world. Let's reach for something else. The enemy snatches away our hope and confidence in the gospel. The cares of life that can destroy this growth in us, we would like, oh, those are the folks uptown on Saturday night, good, you know, and all that other stuff, and all running around. Do you ever think it can be the everyday stuff of life where we're so distracted in even doing the good stuff that we're missing the point? How about the shallowness of life? When we think we've got it all taken care of because we can neatly recite the formulas, yes, I know I'm a sinner, but God has forgiven me, for Jesus' sake, and I'm going to heaven. Now let's get on with the rest of life. I think it's a bit bigger than that, folks. I've learned that the hard way. So have many of you. Seed is the Word of God. And it bears this fruit that impacts our lives of its own accord. And the question is, what kind of soil are you and I today? That's embarrassing and uncomfortable. Because we go and grow through these dreadful struggles in life, and we think it depends on us. And the most disarming, gospel-oriented thing is the very reason you and I go through the struggles is to bring us to our knees. That's all through that letter in 2 Corinthians that Paul spoke about at length today. When we, in pride and despair and frustration, turn to God, I'm trying to be good soil, and all of this is somehow not working in my life, and I'm so frustrated, and I don't know what to do next. And the Lord says, now we're getting somewhere. All that you and I are is dust in the wind. The seed is the Word of God. What kind of a farmer would plant that precious seed in places where it's not going to grow, except that he cares about it? Not just the seed, but the soil. The Lord. This is a God who loved you so much that he's taken the time to say this to you again today. The prayer is, let it sink in, God. You bear the fruit. All I am is dust. And that God loves the dust that you are. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. At this time in worship, we take occasion to rise for prayer.